Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadesh, is daf Mem Zayin. We're holding on the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Beis, on one line up from the bottom. So Tana Rabbana, Misha Ba Va'amar, a guy shows up and he says, listen, I am a ger. So you might think that, okay, if he says he's a ger, so then that would be okay, right? And you should just be makabel him on the spot because he claims that he's a ger. But in fact, that's not the halacha. And maybe we will not insist, in other words, that we need to do mila again. Obviously, we can't do mila again, but we can do hatofa stam bris, which is what's done when there's no actual orla there. So then we can do a hatofa and that we should need to do tefillah. But you might think we don't need to. Talmud Lomar. Therefore, it says in the Pasuk, V'chi yagur itcha ger, itcha means b'muchzak lecha. Muchzak lecha means if something is clear to you and you have a chazaka that this person is a ger, so then if we didn't know anything about him before, so we can't do this. We're talking about over here. Now, the question is like this. It's clear from the Rishonim that since we would normally believe someone who simply appears and claims to be Jewish, we believe that. We see that, as Tosfos points out, we see that from the story of the ger that participated in the Korban Pesach, right? Okay, so he says, I used to go up there and they gave me the Korban Pesach. Nobody made a problem, and he wasn't even Jewish. I said, yeah, I mean, a guy. So the issue is that those kind of things, there is always a migu that somebody could have said that I'm Jewish. So if he says, well, I wasn't born Jewish, but I'm a ger, so he would be believed. So there, in this case, we have to understand the Gemara is talking about that we know that this person was definitely a guy at one point. Now he's coming along and he claims that he became a ger. So then we need to change the chazaka that we had on him from before. So there, we would have to put him through Geirus again. But if he comes along, Bav Eidav Imo, Minayin, how do we know if he has witnesses that then we will accept him? Now, the Gemara is going to point out shortly that, well, isn't that sort of obvious? I mean, we always believe witnesses. Why would we not believe witnesses? So Bav Eidav Imo, Minayin, Talmud Lomar, since it says over here, V'chi Yagur Itchager, since it stresses that as long as that ger is yagur, so then we will accept him no matter how he got there, even if it's with aid. And then when it says be'artzechem, that this is in your land, this might mean emi ela ba'aretz. I might have thought that this is only true in Eretz Yisrael. Why is it only true in Eretz Yisrael? Because in Eretz Yisrael, we understand that when somebody cut, there's a number of different ways of understanding. Let's try Tosfos's exciting explanation, in which Tosfos says that the point over here is that since we saw, remember, Goyim Shebechutz Laretz are not really Goyim, but the same thing is true, the Jews in the Chutz Laretz are not really Jews in the same sense, and that they're not considered to be the Kaha. So that, therefore, I might have thought that if you're in Eretz Yisrael, so then usually people really mean what they say when they're in Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, because there is such teva in Eretz Yisrael, that what are the chances that the guy is going to turn around, that he's going to drop his commitment to being a Jew? So therefore, we don't have to worry that he's going to go back to being a goy, which would be a terrible thing to accept someone and then have him go back to being a goy and then be chayev on all the things that he does wrong. And so on. So we have to be very careful. How do we know that even outside of Eretz Yisrael, that we can also accept what it is and accept Gerim, even in such a place? Therefore, the Torah adds, Itcha. Itcha means wherever it is that you happen to be. Now, obviously, we just use this Itcha to tell me something else, but we're going to ask that in the Gemara in a minute. So then why did it say Ba'artzechem? So Mekematam and Lomar Ba'aretz, which seems to mean that there's a different din in Eretz Yisrael. No, the difference is this, that if you're an Eretz Yisrael, the first part of what we said is that we will not accept him without absolute proof that he's a ger. There he has to bring a raya. Why? Because there's so many reasons for a person to pretend that he's a ger in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is so marvelous. So therefore, I would understand that I need to bring a raya. But b'chutz la'aretz, ain't tzarich lavi raya. If a guy's stupid enough to become a ger in chutz la'aretz, so why would he need to bring a raya? If he's insisting that he's a ger, so then we would say that he doesn't need a raya. So says Rabbi Yehuda. So now let's take a look at this more closely, says the Gemara. It said in the Braita that if he shows up with Edim, that then the Pasuk says that I will accept him. I don't understand. Why do I need a Pasuk? Bo veidavi mo kralamali. Edim are accepted in Kol HaTorah Kula. Umber of Sheshes, the Braita is talking about a case, not that the Edim actually say we saw him being Miskayer. It means that Edim come along and they say we heard that this guy was Miskayer in front of such and such a Beit Din. So Salkadai Techamina, you might have thought that you cannot rely on that because we never rely on Aid Me P Aid and so on, right? Kamash Balan, that we will. Why? Because since this is something which is really a Gilui Milsa, so that if it turns out that it isn't true, we will rapidly find out about it. If the guy's identifying the Bezdin, so that type of thing we will rely on. And then when it says Ba'aretz, Ainli Ela Ba'aretz, how do I know even B'chutz La'aretz? Tamud Lomar Itcha, B'chol Makom She'itcha. Didn't you just say that the Itcha means that you need to bring proof? And now you're telling me that it means that you're allowed to accept the ger? I'm so confused. You just used that pasuk, so how can you use it again? No, there's actually two different psukim. We have the pasuk of Imach, which is ger v'toshav, V'chai imach, in the whole story of the Dinim of Geula. And that's what it's referring to, the imach, although the Gra changes this to the end of the same pasuk that we brought before, which is kezrach mikem yelechem hager agar itchem, that the first one was itach, and this one should say itchem, which makes more sense, and he brings that this is actually what it does say in the Braisa. The Chachamim omrim bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'arech, tzarich lavi raya. So how can the Chachamim agree and disagree with the word ba'artzachem? It says ba'artzachem, mashman, you don't have to bring a raya if it isn't ba'artzachem. No, you need to use that to tell me the din of Kabbalah of the ger, which is what we started with, and the fact is that it's a big chiddush that we can even be mekabel gerim in Eretz Yisrael. Why? For the same reason that we don't accept gerim b'yimot HaMashiach, or that we didn't accept gerim at the time that everything was so wonderful in the days of Shlomo HaMelech and David HaMelech. I might have thought that we should always be chayshet, that if somebody comes to Eretz Yisrael, which is so wonderful, so of course they want to claim that they're a gerim so that they can have a chelek and be able to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So the chiddush is that I would be able to accept them. V'hashtanami, even now, where we don't have the zavat chalav udvash, we don't have all of the brachas, we don't have all of that tova, but we still have leket, shikho, peya, meiser, ani. There's reasons for people to feel that they want to be able to be zocha to all of these matanais, and this guy may want to be supported in that way. Kabash Malan, that's not up to us to have all these kinds of chishadais, that the person has these ulterior motivations. Omer Rav Chiya Bar Ava, Omer Rav Yochanan, the halacha is, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, tzarich lavi ra'aya. And again, isn't that obvious? If Yochid v'rabi, that halacha k'rabi, so why wouldn't I have thought the Paskin like the Chachamim? Because Mao de Temo Mistaber Taima de Rabbi Yehuda de Komesaya Lake Roy. Look, the Psukim certainly were more marshma that the Itacha is telling us that you can be Makabal Gerim all over. which was the mashmaut for mitzvah in the first place. So the fact that we should, Taina, you need an extra pasuk to tell me even an Eretz Yisrael should be mekabel, that seems to be a little bit pushy. So therefore, we should go according to Rabbi Yehuda, because he makes more sense in the pesukim, kamash malan, that nonetheless, the halacha is like the chachamim. Tana Rabba, ushvatem tzedek bein ish ubein achiv ubein giro. So here you see that we call the idea of mishpat with the idea of gerus, in which case the shafatatem is bedafka to teach me that there's an inyan of mishpat about gerus, which means mikano abrabiuda. Ger shenit gayer bebeitin hareza ger. So a ger needs to actually convert in front of a beisdin. But beino levein atzmo, if he just takes upon himself mitzvahs and goes ahead and gets a brit milah and jumps into a mikvah, that is not considered to be gerut. Maaseh b'achad shebah lifnei Rabbi Yehuda, once a guy came to Rabbi Yehuda and said, nitgayarti b'ni levein atzmi, I was a ger. Now, this guy is talking about that we have a chazaka on him, and we had assumed all along that he was Jewish. Whatever. We know how he was Jewish, but for years he's been living in the community, he's been keeping mitzvahs and so on. All of a sudden he walks in and he says, well, I wasn't born Jewish. I became a ger, but it was all on my own. I was not in front of a bestin. So Amarlo Rabbi Yehuda, do you have witnesses that that's what happened? That you were actually became a ger only by yourself? No. Do you have any children? Yes. So Rabbi Yehuda said to him, look, there's no reason why we should believe you for you to turn your children into psulim. Ne'emanat alif solat atzmecha. But we certainly, I mean, you have a chazaka, basically, until now. So if you insist that you're not really Jewish, fine. So don't marry a Jewish woman, you know. But you can't turn around and you say that there's something wrong with my children, that you cannot say. And therefore, this the idea over here is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he must hold that the child, like we had before, that was actually conceived through a goy, is considered to be a mamzer. So therefore, it was a big problem. And Rabbi Yehuda was saying to him, we don't believe you to say anything about your children. Why should you? Why should we believe you? You have a chazak in our eyes of being Jewish. You want to insist you're not Jewish. The only thing that you can do with that insistence is make yourself problems. If you're saying you're not Jewish, we're not going to let you marry a Jewish woman. But wait, Rabbi Yehuda said that he's not believed about his children. I thought, like, the big din about special ne'emanut when it comes to children, gufa comes from the special pasuk about the din of yakir. Remember that it says in the pasuk, et habechor ben asnua yakir latet lo pishnai. Yakir means, what is that supposed to mean? He should recognize the bechor. Even recognize, just say, you cannot change who is considered to be the firstborn. That's all it needs to say. If it says yakir, what it means is that you, as the father, have a right to define him to others. And it's Rabbi Yehuda who says that this proves that a person is ne'aman to say, this is my oldest son. Now, if he's believed to say, this is my oldest son, then he's believed to say that a son is possible. And he can say, because think about it, if this kid is 5 years old and he's got brothers that are 30 years old, and this father is saying, this is my firstborn, then this father is saying, these other kids are mamzerim, and somebody else impregnated my wife, right? And nonetheless, we're believing him to say this about his youngest is the Bukhar. So in the same way that he's believed to say, this is my Bukhar, he would also be believed to say, this child is not a kosher kohen, he's a ben grusha or a ben chalutza, but the chachamim say no, he's not believed to pass. Okay, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is the same Rabbi Yehuda who's saying to this guy, we don't believe you to make problems for your children. Sorry, buddy. If you want to make problems for yourself, that's your business. And here Rebuta says that specifically in the instance of a father, the father can in fact say what the situation is of a child. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchak, you don't understand. What Rebuta was telling him is, don't be silly. If you are claiming that you are not Jewish, so then you are not believed with the Pasuk of Yakir, which is set for Jews. So either way you look at it, we're not going to believe you, because according to your own words, you are not believed. That's the idea. And then, L'dvarecho ve'et kochavim ata, ve'ein edut lo'ovet kochavim. Ravina says, that's not what Rebuta meant. Rebuta's story was different. Rebuta said to him, do you have children? And he said, yes. Do you have grandchildren? And he said, yes. And what Rebuta had said to him was, well, because you are the assumed father of your children, you do have a right to tell us what the din is of your children. But that's only a din of Yakir when it's Nogea children. If it will be Nogea grandchildren, the Torah never gave you that right. And therefore, in this case, you do not have the right to tell us. And Tanya Namiyachi, we have a brisa like Reb Yehuda Aimer, Ne'eman Adam Lomar al Beno Katan. Reb Yehuda says, a person is believed to say that what it sounds like he's saying, my child who is still not bar mitzvah, he's allowed to say what his din is, but he's not Ne'eman al Beno Gadol. But that isn't what it really means. As Reb Chiya bar Ava Amar Reb Yochanan says, the word Katan does not mean minor. And the word gadol does not mean an adult in this case. A katan who has banim is called gadol. It makes no difference the age. Someone with children is what he's calling a gadol, that we will not believe him. And a gadol ve'en lo banim is zehu katan. So the brisa is saying that you can only believe him if that son does not have children. But if that son has children, meaning that he's an adult, so then we will not believe the father, even Benogea, his son, because once it will be defining the next generation, the Torah never gave it to him to define. In reality, the halacha is like Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak. And in fact, the deal is that since, according to his own words, he's not Jewish, so then he cannot access the Ne'emanus of Yakir. Wait a minute. We just had a brisa, and the brisa said that we do believe the guy if he was coming to pasul his son, but only if that son has no children, right? Now you're saying that no, actually, we will not believe you at all. Now, I mean, we're assuming that the case is nogea the ger, which, of course, there was no reason to jump to that conclusion. There were two different issues here, right? One was the question of, in terms of the Geirus, does he have an option of passing? And one was in terms of the din of Yakir. Does the din of Yakir apply to him? So those are two completely different elements. So what we brought in the Brisa is that, yes, he's believed to say that his son is a Ben Gerusha uben Chalutza. And this is only in the event that there's no children to that son. And over here, that's nothing to do with this being a goy. But that Brisa would have agreed that, of course, if the guy said I wasn't Jewish, so then he's not going to be Neman to go ahead and say that I have a right to tell me the Yakir. So the Gabe that we pass your life with Nachman bar Yitzchak. Why are you mixing up the two cases? One is a case where he's saying he's not Jewish. The other is a case where he's saying something about his child that will affect his grandchild. Two completely different issues. In fact, a ger shabali et gayer bisman hazeh, somebody who nowadays comes along and he wants to become a ger without any reasonable basis for being a ger. So we say to him, why in the world do you want to become a ger? I mean, are you completely deaf and blind? You don't know that nowadays, yata yodea shi Yisrael bizman hazeh, devuyim, dechufim, sechufim, meturafim. I mean, they're in a terrible situation. There's these constant pogroms, total, anti-Semitism. The only thing the UN is after is Jews. I mean, what do you need this for? Yisurin ba'inalayim. There's always problems with the goyim. So what do you want to become Jewish for? It's crazy. Imomer. So if he says, yeah, I do know that. And in fact, any kedai, I don't even feel that I am kedai. I'm worthy of becoming part of this type of nation that has been willing to accept all of this upon themselves. It's true that I shouldn't even have a right to walk into a situation where everybody else has put in thousands of years of building this identity, and I'm just going to go ahead and take it on myself. Mikablim oto miyad. Then we will accept him on the spot, meaning that we're going to give him all of what we need to in order to make sure that he's a full ger. Umodiyin oto, and at that point, we let him know miktsat mitzvot kalot. We let him know some small mitzvahs, you know. So we tell him things that are not really scary, but, you know, the way that he has to make brochas and the way that he's supposed to dress and what things he's not allowed to wear and stuff like that. And we tell him some mitzvahs that are chamurais, you know, so we're going to be telling him that there's going to be things that are very serious, you know, like keeping Shabbos and things like that. And that way, he is aware of the overall concept. Modino to avod leket shikha upeya umaser ani. We tell him, and we're going to ask later why dafka these mitzvahs. We tell him how he has to be very careful to leave over the gifts to the poor, like leket shikha upeya umaser ani. And we tell him that there are serious consequences to not keeping the mitzvahs. So what we say to him is, look, avayodea. Look, before you became this Jew that you want to become, if you eat chalev, there's nothing wrong with eating chalev. Go ahead and eat what you want. You're mechal Shabbos. You're not going to be punished by being killed in a court because you're mechal Shabbos. But now, if you go ahead and you eat chalev, you're going to be chayev karet. If you're mechal Shabbos, you're going to be onish skila. Are you sure you want to become Jewish? That's crazy. In the same way that we tell him all of the punishments, we also tell him matan scharam. We tell them how wonderful it is to be able to get the schar for doing mitzvahs. And we tell him, you should know, avi yodea, sholam haba, eno asuri, ela letzadikim. V'yisrael bizman hazenem yecholim lekabel rov tova. Actually, olam haba is only for tzadikim that keep these mitzvahs, and that's Yisrael. Now, I know that you are aware of the fact that things are terrible for Jews, but that's because at Bizman HaZeh, where we don't have the level that we need to handle the world, so Bizman HaZeh, the Yetzirah, makes us terrible problems. And when things are too good, Jews get disgusting. Now, they cannot handle money. They cannot handle power. And they all go rotten. So because of that, they aren't given these things nowadays. But they also can't handle the terrible punishments that are going to be given to the Umay Sa'ilam. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly tries to keep us in line. But it's very important not to overdo this, because you could scare the hell out of the guy. So we're not overly informative, and we are not very medactic with him to tell him all of the issues that could be involved, because basically, as we're going to see, we're trying to find a middle ground between being discouraging and being careful not to overly discourage. And we'll see why this is true. And then if he nonetheless says, look, you know, none of this is scaring me away, I still want to become a Jew. So then Malino Tomiyad, we don't wait. We actually give him a Brit Milah as soon as we can. Yishtayru bo tzitzin ha-me'akvin et ha-milah. And if there are little pieces of skin that are going to make the circumcision not useful, and we'll talk about that in a minute, chozrinu malino toshniyan, and we have to go back and remove those skin pieces. Only after he's fully recovered from the mila, then matbilino tomiyad, we then put him into a mikvah. Also, don't delay. And later on, we're going to say it really means three, because we need the Bezdin. So we have two Talmidei Chachamim that are standing there while this is happening. And we tell him over these various mitzvahs, as we mentioned, because since the tefillah is the conclusion, we want at that moment that it should be done in the context of the full acceptance of mitzvahs. And there, the moment, Taval V'Allah, when he comes out of that mikvah, Areyu Ki Yisrael L'chol Dvarav, he is completely in every way considered to be a Jew. Now we're going to talk about every one of these things individually. So don't worry about it right now. We're going to explain each point, even though it seems very weird, a lot of it. Isha, now if this is a woman that we're talking about, obviously we've got some issues. First of all, it's going to be rough to do a Brit Milah. So Nashim Moshivot Upta B'mayim HaTzavara. As we said before, there is only the din of tefillah, and it's also inappropriate for the Bezdin to be standing there. So even though we know that we do need a Bezdin, but I mean, as the Bezdin put her into the mikveh. So what we do is we have women taking care of her. They put her into the mikveh, make sure there's no chatzitza, and then you have the Bezdin come in, and there she's completely covered with the water in the mikveh, and there they say over as she dunks her head under the mikveh, modiino ta miktsat mitzvot kalot, miktsat mitzvot chamorot, the same way that we had for the male. And this is true whether we're talking about a ger or whether we're talking about the shichrur of an eved. So remember that when we free a slave who was a non-Jew, he becomes completely Jewish. So at that moment, we need to do exactly this same procedure. Again, we're going to be talking about all of this. Ubemakom shenidat ovelet, the same kind of mikveh that a nida needs, which is arboim sah, and so on and so forth. And there's no chatzitza, as we're going to see. So too, that's where the ger or the eved meshuchra requires tefillah. The chol davar shechotzeitz betefillah, chotzeitz beger ubeeved meshuchra ubenida. Anything that is a chatzitza and it comes between the water and the person's skin is considered to be a cancellation of the tefillah, whether we're talking about geirus or nidais or eved meshuchra. Now, let's go back to the beginning. Omar ma, start at the beginning. Ger sheba leitgayer. Omrim lo mara ita shebata leitgayer. And don't you know how the Jews are completely in the worst situation today? And modien oto miktsat mitzvot kalot, miktsat mitzvot chamurot, etc., together with these scary onashim. Well, why do we do this? Well, why do we want to try to discourage this ger? Because the e nifrosh, he porish nifrosh. If he wants to leave, then let him leave now. The Omer Rabbi Chabo, kashim gerim li Yisrael, kisapachat, dechtiv inilva hager aleihem, v'nisbechu al Beit Yisrael. So because of that, what we're talking about over here, wherever we have a ger, this is how Rashi understands it. It's very important to understand why he says it this way. The problem with gerim being kosher Yisrael kesapachat has many different approaches, all of which are correct. So one approach is that the reason that gerim are so bad for Yisrael is because they're so much better than the original Jews, which is always a problem. So they keep the mitzvahs better, and they have better midas, so on and so forth, and therefore they cause harm to Klal Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do I need you idiots for? I have all these wonderful gerim. So and that's dangerous for Yisrael. But the word sapachas has double meanings, okay? And it means also that it causes damage, and that is the reason that we're specifically taking, according to Rashi here, the sapachat, is because of the fact that we're afraid that they will turn around and stop keeping mitzvahs. And because of that, they will, already having been absorbed into the community and people knowing them, they will end up making people actually be mako on mitzvahs. So what this means is that we want to make sure that there's no ulterior motives. Now, I want to discuss this issue, if you don't mind a little bit, even though I can barely speak, as you can tell. But I think it's very important for us to get to the bottom of this. And the issue over here is, of course, what in the heck is this sugya doing here? So why have we gotten onto the issue of geirus? I understand that in the general sense, we're talking about in Masechet Yevamot genealogical issues. But over here, I mean, isn't this sort of like a religious issue? And the answer is, Rav Ossat, that geirus has nothing to do with religion. And that is what is extremely important to understand through this whole sugya. As we're going to see, only when we're makabel the ger do we start talking to him about religion. And we tell him that he has to believe in one God and he can no longer go to church. Now, that's a little bit insane if you believe that geirus is about religion. I mean, if a guy came here in order to become Jewish, what's the news to him that he can no longer go to church and he has to believe in one God? I mean, it's not like sort of a given. So obviously, it means that it has nothing to do with religion, as we just saw. The main question is, why would you want to be Yisrael? Yisrael is not a religion. So the question is, his response to that is what either makes him a ger or doesn't make him a ger. The reason that we don't want ulterior motives is, as is brought out by the entire issue, the last thing that we need is somebody who wants to become Jewish for religious reasons. Because the point over here is that if there are psychological needs that are being supplied by his geirus, he is dangerous. People that are catching on to some kind of religious or even a guru, whatever it is, they're dangerous people. And the moment that something doesn't work out according to what they're trying to get, then they turn against you and they can really be a sapachat in total sense. And that is why the entire story of geirus is found in Megillat Rut. And as we're about to discover, all of the dinim of geirut are found in Megillat Rut. Why? Because the idea of Rut is that this was a woman who was completely and totally independent. And only then did Naomi accept her. And how does that explain the placement over here in Yevamot? Very profoundly. The ger that we're describing over here is a ger who said, Ani yodea ve'eni kedai. Explain to me what that means. Just stop. Pashtas. What do you mean, Ani yodea ve'eni kedai? Why eni kedai? You're ready to suffer along with the Jewish people. Come right along and suffer. You want to suffer. Who's stopping you from suffering? The point eni kedai is obviously what he's saying is, and this, by the way, is the reason that the two cases of geirut that are mentioned in the Torah around the issue of Kabbalah's mitzvahs are both stories of in-laws. One is Yisro, father-in-law, and one is Naomi, mother-in-law. The reason that they're both stories of in-laws is because the joining of a family creates the same issues on a local level that geirus does to Yisrael. When a person joins a family, he's doing something nutty. He's taking on another person's memories and family relationships. That's wild. I mean, my wife has been with this family for 20 years or whatever it is, and now all of a sudden I'm going to be calling my father-in-law daddy. Like, what does that mean? It's fake. How can I have that kind of relationship? But it isn't fake. That's the amazing thing. It creates a relationship in which a person takes on the identity of another. But that's Yibum. And that's why the whole story of Yibum revolves around this woman, Ruth, who is ready to act on behalf of another. But there's something much deeper. On the cosmic level, as opposed to the local level of taking on an in-law relationship, there is this ger's obvious awareness that in joining Yisrael, he is joining an enterprise that has gone for millennia. That's why he's saying, Eini kedai. It's all very nice for me to hop in and suffer for the rest of my life, but how does that make me part of all of the incredible investment of this nation for so many centuries, how would I have a right to say, okay, so I'm coming in the middle, and now I'm going to be part of this? That means that this care is not thinking in local terms. This care is thinking about the issue of the marker of identity, the marker of neshamas from the time of my separations, what it means to be Yisrael, why it is that Yisrael is going through this. That's what he means when he says, Ani Odea Ve'eni Kedai. And that's why we will accept him on the spot, because this is serious. This person understands what we're dealing with is something much more important than religion. Obviously, it's important and essential that he keeps the mitzvahs atayra, because otherwise he's violating his Yisrael. We're going to make somebody Yisrael and then have him suffer from it. It's insane. Of course not. But the point over here is that he's taking responsibility for the much broader view of the nature of the concept called identity. Well, guess what? That's what Yibum is all about, isn't it? And now note the Chida's beautiful diyuk. Why does this Gemara keep talking about ger sheba lehit gayer? A ger doesn't come lehit gayer. A goy comes lehit gayer. How is he a ger before he came lehit gayer? That doesn't make any sense. The language is so weird. It should say akum sheba lehit gayer. So the Chida points out that's because every ger was a ger from the beginning, because he had to be aimed on Har Sinai. The only thing is that it's taken all of this time for those embedded energies to have finally broken out in this individual who's become aware of the fact that I can't live like this. So that's an incredible thing. So then that means that what we're talking about over here is something so similar to Yibum that it's not a coincidence that all the dinim of Yibum and all the dinim of Geras are completely interwoven in the book of Rus, just as they are here in the Masechet of Yevamos. This is an individual who takes responsibility for the concept of identity, for the neshama of a meis, for the neshama of a ger that's been waiting around for maybe 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, till he finally discovered that he's a ger, and now he's taking all of that on himself. That's incredible stuff. So, of course, it's part of the whole vision of Yibum, which is amazing. So now we're going to see that we learn out all of the dinim from Rus and the Ami and the relationship between them, and all of the diyukim that we said over here are the things that actually took place in Megillat Rut. So therefore, the real reason that we want this guy to leave is because we need to know that he is doing what his vision has brought him to see. And certainly that he doesn't have some kind of infatuation with meaning in life and with religion in life and with God. This is the only way I can get close to God. That's all bull. He's got plenty of mitzvahs that he can take care of his Sheva mitzvahs. Don't give me the religious answer. This has to do with a totally different vision of the meaning of the creation of Adam. That's the point. And anybody that comes in without those purposes is sapachat. It can end up causing tremendous damage to Yisrael, because they can make Yisrael religious, and that would be a disaster. Okay, so then the next thing that it says in the Braita, good, good, there's some people that appreciate things. Okay. So then it says, Modino to avon leket shikro peyao meiser ani. Now, why dafke those things? Omre b'chiyabarava, omre b'yochanan, because those things represent a very serious issue. The serious issue is like this. The nature of a Yisrael is to be meichel. And the nature of an akum is not to be meichel. And because of that, omre b'chiyabarava, omre b'yochanan, a ben noyach, who has not been Mizgayer, is Neheraga Pachot Nishova Prut. A person like that, who would steal the tiniest amount of money, which for a Jew is not Nogea, because basically if he steals from a Jew, so then, all right, you know, if a guy was so hard up, he needed this money, you know, less than a Prut, he's welcome to it. But when it comes to an Akum, over there, it would be a problem. I think I told you, at least the last time we learned Yevamos, you know, the beautiful story of that girl that came, that used to come with these incredible shilas to my father's atzal. One of her shilas was, I told you the shila about, is she allowed to buy meat in a non-kosher butcher shop? And you know what she was talking about. Why would you be allowed to? No, she says, you don't understand. I'm not Jewish. Oh, so what's the problem? Well, she says, because I know that the goyim, they will sometimes shoot an animal and then cut it up. But if it's still being mifacheses, then it has a din of Avram and Achai. And I'm a goy, so I'm mitzvah on Avram and Achai. So do I have a right to rely if I buy, at least like this, if it's in a Jewish butcher shop? So the shechita is matir it. But if there's no shechita, what's going to be matir? They have, she says to them, if you're such a bucky in all of the halachas, why don't you become Jewish already? So she says, no, because since a gersh and his geyer is kekatan shenoylad, I can't do that to my mother. And to make my mother feel that I'm not like her child. Anyway, so it turns out the story of this girl was that she was going to, I think it was Barnard, actually, college. And she had a Jewish roommate. And the Jewish roommate, someone had given the Jewish roommate a copy of Rav Hirsch's Chorev. So the Jewish girl didn't read it, but she did. So she was so overwhelmed with this Chorev. So like she said, oh, so, you know, it's clear to me that this is the MS, but I know I can't do this to my mother. As long as my mother is alive, fine. So one of the big shilas that she had was the question of being in a dorm based on this gemara. So since it says over here that a ben noyach is not meichel, and therefore there would be a chi of misa for even stealing something that is pachas mishava pruta, and it's lo nitan leheshavan. So she wanted to know whether she's allowed to use the hairpins that everybody uses that might not be hers. What if her roommate left a hairpin on the counter and she thought it was hers and it wasn't hers? And then she was over on the Xela Peshogeng and that would be a chiyuv of misa for her. So her question was, even though the Gemara says that the ben noyach is not meichel, but since the minig is that none of the girls care about these hairpins, they're like, you know, you buy 100 of them for almost nothing in those days. And so maybe that's not considered to be brachos mishava pruta, and maybe it's considered to be vitur, even by a ben noyach. These were the kind of questions that she raised. But anyway, so that was based on this gemara. So since Rav Chiya bar Abba said that you have to be makbid, so we tell him, listen, buddy, you got to know that now that you're becoming Jewish, do not think that you're going to be able to be so makbid on your money anymore. These Jews, they got to give leket, shikha, peya. I mean, it's a disaster. So you got to be prepared for that change in your perception of control. Because once you become a Ben Yisrael, you ain't got no control. Okay, others say crazy pratim, like, since he might think that ad ata, these people would be chaya for stealing, so then maybe if he sees aniyim coming to his field, he should take a shotgun and kill them. Okay. Anyway, so he's got to know that, no, actually, there is a mitzvah like a chikopaya. Okay, listen, people will say funny pratim, but let's go ahead. So now, ein marbin alav, ein medak tekim alav. Omar Rabbi Elazar, how do you know that you don't keep pushing a potential ger away? That's the pasuk in Rut. When Naomi saw that Ruth was absolutely determined that she is going, that's the lashon of the Medrash that says that Ruth finally told Naomi, listen here, old lady, one way or another, I am going to become a ger, okay? Now, you don't like the idea? Fine. I don't need you to become a ger. It would be nice. But okay, so once Naomi heard that, then she was happy. So at that point, so she stopped arguing about it. Beautiful, right? So now, if you take a look at the conversation that is before this pasuk, you understand that what we're looking at is the most incredible embedding of the inyonim of the gerus into the nature of human relationships. Remember that we are used to the very special love story between Naomi and Ruth, right? So we've got this whole discussion, whether they go with, I go with, all business, right? It's like this very emotional conversation in which Ruth is declaring her love to Naomi and she will never, ever part with her. But the Gemara sees this, just like the Gemara understands that everything is an expression of multi-leveled reality, in which if, in fact, what it is that Ruth is saying, and I bring a riot to this, that there was an original understanding on the part of Ruth to what the Chidah says, because it says that she went Lashuv le'Eretz Yehuda. She was going to return to Eretz Yehuda. She never was in Eretz Yehuda. So what does it mean she's going to return to Eretz Yehuda? So it is her vision of what it is that she's doing is basically restorative rather than creating something new. So then we understand that when she responded with the words, whither thou goeth, I goeth, what that had meant was, is that Naomi said to her, you know, we're not allowed to go outside of the Tum on Shabbos. Oh, that doesn't matter. Whither thou goeth, I goeth. So whatever limitations there are, listen, this is about love. I just didn't argue with you about this or that, which is, of course, a conversation that you can easily have with any lover. You know, you sure you want to get married? I love to sleep with the window open. Do you like to sleep with the window open? I don't give a hang. I just want to be with you. Whither thou sleepeth, I sleepeth. That's basically the conversation. So we understand that there's things that she's responding to. So she says, well, we're not allowed to be alone with a boy. That's okay, says Ruth. Wherever you live, wherever you take a hotel room, I will. Yeah, but we got 613 mitzvahs. That's okay. Amechami, whatever. These are details. But we're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. Okay. Elohai, Elohai. I'll take whatever God you have. That's also fine for me. But, you know, we've got Arba Mises, Nem Tzru Lebesdin. You might get killed in a court. Don't worry. Wherever you die, I'll die. But there's two different great Batei Kfaros that we had before. For the Rishayim Gemurim and for the Rishayim that are only Chayim on the Mises Kalais. So Ruth says, Vishame Kaver, I'll be buried in the same place too. So then it says, Vatereki mitam etzatila lechad. And if we're Mekabel, if the Ger says, anyway, I want this, Malino Tomi Yad, why do we have to do it immediately? Why can't we put things off for a while? Because Shuhuye mitzvah, lo mashinan. We don't delay doing the mitzvah. And then when it says Mishtairu Botsitsina Ma'akvinata Mila, if you have little bits of skin that disqualify the Mila, what are those? Get it tonight. Elu ein tzitzin hama'akvin hamila. Basar hachofe et rova hatara. So if you have this, now there's the question over here. There's a machlokes, remember, that we've spoken about before. It's a big discussion of whether we're talking about the atara as the entire gland's penis, or we're talking about the atara as the ridge that surrounds the corona. And that, so we're machmer lomaisa, as the, to even if there's just a tiny piece of skin that will cover up the ridge itself. And that, as we're going to see in a moment, is a tiny piece of skin that will cover most of the height, not the width. So you could be talking about this tiny, you know, half a centimeter thing, which is almost invisible. And nonetheless, it would be ma'ak of the mila. So kiritzan, elu ein tzitzina ma'akvina tamila, basara chofet rova atara. And a person who was nemo, but has the type of shreds of skin that are left. And this can happen, by the way, very easily, because remember, we're talking about over here pre-a. No, we're not talking about the foreskin itself. Foreskin, indeed, will come off as one piece, usually. But when you do the pre-a, you're talking about the membrane, which actually was under the foreskin, connecting it to the penis. So over there, where if you're not careful, it's very easy to leave pieces behind and only to notice afterwards. So such a person would not be allowed to eat truma. The Omer Bir Mebarav, Omer Rav, when we say most of the Atara, We're talking about Basrachov Gov Hashalatara. It would only need to cover most of the height of the Atara, which, of course, if we're not referring to the entire Atara, we're just referring to the ridge. So then we're talking about a very small piece of skin. And then the Braisa concludes that if, after he's completely healed, then we put him into the mikvah. Why is that? Why only if he's completely healed? What's the big deal? Can we put him in the mikvah if he's not completely healed? My taima, mishum de maya marzum maka. That's because water will cause a wound to maybe get infected or to destroy the part that has already started healing. Because of that, we don't allow him to get into the mikvah before. And we have two Talmid Chachomim saying over these things, didn't you just say that we need three and that we learn it out from Mishpat? Says the Gemara, indeed, Rabbi Yochanan said to the Amora who was saying over this Braisa, change that and make it three, Shlosha. And then when it says, and when he gets out of that mikvah, he's considered to be completely like a Jew in every way. In what sense? In the sense that if, chas v'shalom, if he goes back and he says, I'm sorry I ever became Jewish, and he just goes back to being a goy, and then 20 years later, he gives kedushin to a Jewish woman, that kedushin will be chal, because he's considered to be a Yisrael mummer. He's not considered to be a goy, and his kedushin is a perfectly valid kedushin, even though he went back to being a goy. And that is something that is very, very chashuv to know.